Welcome to the room, everyone, and let's turn, if we could, to, well, I'm going to post them here. We're going to be talking today about the light, and actually, absence of the light during the tribulation, Israel's dark, prophetic 70th week of Daniel, and that during that darkness, candles are needed, candles of spiritual light scattered throughout that area in the land. But let's look here, first of all, about the coming of the Lord, when he does come back after that tribulation. For, let me just get these verses lined up here so I can read them without stopping. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, all that do, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son, the S-U-N, Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in his wings, and he shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And you shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be as ashes under the soles of your feet in that day, in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So it's going to happen, and Israel will be the head, not the tail. And God says, I shall do it. It's not going to be by Israel's doing. It'll be by God's doing, just like our righteousness today is by God's doing, by him imputing his own righteousness to us. But that coming of the Lord, in the brightness of his coming, that will catapult Israel into prominence when Christ returns as the Son of Righteousness, S-U-N, the Son of Righteousness. Let's look in Isaiah chapter 60, verse 3. Isaiah 60, verse 3. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. That's Israel's rising. They rose until they fell in Acts 7. They were rising when Christ was, when Christ walked the earth and gave them the message that the kingdom of God was at hand. The kingdom coming from heaven to earth was at hand. If they just would have believed that he was the Messiah. And they fell, though, in Acts 7, blaspheming the Holy Ghost. And in the future, there is going to be this rising that Isaiah is prophesying here in Isaiah 60, verse 3. And we look in the Hebrew epistles, after Paul's epistles, toward the end of the Bible, and we see what happens on earth after the body of Christ is caught up, avoiding the wrath to come. At that time, the Hebrew prophecies resume their fulfillment. Israel's time clock is on hold now. It stopped at the after the 69th week. They were given 1 year, acceptable year of the Lord, and they failed to right that wrong. They failed to change their mind, I should say, repent of crucifying their Messiah. They went on to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. But when Israel's prophecy resumes its fulfillment, they are in their 70th week. They're that Daniel prophesied. They will be in Jacob's trouble, tribulation, and their prophecy will be starting to be carried out again. The body of Christ is not appointed to wrath. It's caught up before that wrath. The catching up of the body of Christ, who now shine as lights, is what brings on that spiritual darkness in the absence of the body of Christ after they're caught up. Look briefly in Revelation chapter 1, and we'll look at verses 12, 13, 16, and 20. Starting in Revelation 1, verse 12, and I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. The one like the Son of Man is in the midst of the candlesticks. Now, candles give light, and so we're talking about light again here. Let's look at verse 16. And he had in his right hand seven stars. Stars are more light. And out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. So it doesn't sound exactly parallel to what Christ revealed to Paul. Well, it is close. It is. Listen to 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 8, and see how close it actually is. Then shall the wicked, that wicked, not talking about, it's talking about the man of sin, but let me just read it. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. They are parallel. Revelation 1:16, talking to Israel, describes the same event and says, and he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And it's revealed, that event is revealed to Paul, and he says, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. So the two-edged sword is parallel to the spirit of his mouth. His countenance being as the sun shineth in his strength is parallel to the brightness of his coming. Remember also the parallel of the sun, S-U-N, of righteousness, in Malachi 4:2 that we started with. So all three passages are talking about the Christ, the Word of God. And so look in Revelation 1, verse 20. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks, and the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Those seven churches in Revelation chapters 1 through 3 come into being after the world is plunged into spiritual darkness. They shine as candlesticks, as lights in the darkness, in that darkness at that time, after the body of Christ, which shines now as lights in the world, after we've been caught up to be with the Lord. That leaves the darkness that these candles have to try and light up. So we talked about the nature of those seven churches, and how that, well, this was about a chapter ago or so. Comfort or warning to which churches, you know, we saw that the end time prophecies for the body of Christ is relief. It's comfort. It's that we're caught up out of this world before the darkness, before the tribulation. And yet, the end times for Israel is that they begin to get into their tribulation, what's called in Jeremiah 30, verse 7, Jacob's trouble. It comes to Jacob because Jacob has been apostate most of its existence since they were brought into to be the son of God in Exodus 4, verse 22, in that coming out of Egypt, when they were brought out of Egypt, often called the Exodus. So we've talked about that difference. But Webster, in his dictionary, describes, well, he says that dark means destitute of light. Dark means lacking illumination. So we're talking about light, but in relation to light, we're talking about dark now when the light is gone. So then, what is missing which results in darkness? Light. Light is missing. The absence of the light produces the darkness. The light is missing, it's gone. After the catching up of the body of Christ, the light's in the world, it's dark, spiritual darkness. Strong's Concordance says that the word candlestick I can't rightly pronounce it. I can try, and maybe you can get the idea. Lushnia or Lushnos, it means lampstand. Candlestick, it means candlestick. It means a portable lamp or other illuminator, something that throws off light, gives light to those around it, in other words. At the beginning of John's prophecy of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus Christ, we find the need for candlesticks to give light. We find utter darkness except for the candlesticks. John says that those seven churches in that crucial territory there, the land, that they are the candlesticks. Those churches are the candlesticks, the light givers at that time. So now remember, those are Jewish churches. They're not Body of Christ churches. They're not churches like we have today here. They are Jewish synagogues or Jewish gatherings of people that are in compliance with that. This gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world, and then comes the end. It'll be after the gospel of the grace of God that we believe to be saved today is gone, is no more functional, no longer functional. But there is the need for candlesticks and stars, it mentioned, in that darkness of the post-catching up world when Israel's prophecy fulfillment will have restarted. By then, Christ will have caught up his body, and we, in the church, the body of Christ, will be gone from this world and from its troubles. So in order to understand those seven churches we're talking about here in the beginning of the book of Revelation, and the situation at that time, we need to compare spiritual things with spiritual. And remember, we went through and considered each one of those churches, those seven churches, how they could not, because of the doctrine it says they have, we could not, those churches could not be Body of Christ churches like we have today. They have to be Israel's churches. Okay, it's Israel's doctrine that they're talking about there. So let's go to Revelation 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. This what? This prophecy. Is John talking about mystery? Things that were kept secret until revealed to Paul? Or is he talking about prophecy? Those things which have been prophesied and written down since the world began. John here is talking about that whole collection of information, including what is called the Old Testament. John is talking about all those old prophecies and oracles of God that Israel had received and written down. God had not hidden those things. They were not secret. They had been prophesied. And that's what Revelation is talking about. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Well, first of all, we see that Israel's apostle John is speaking words of prophecy, not mystery, committed to Paul for us. And at the heart of the word prophecy, to prophesy, is the word prophet, or to profess something. Or as Webster's dictionary says, to speak forth. Sometimes to prophesy carries with it the meaning of foretelling a future event which has not yet happened. Whether or not it means that, in this case, prophecy always means to speak forth. So John is speaking forth something more about the information which has been inspired, spoken, information that had been heard and written down since the world began. And he has, well, that information, God promised to preserve it. It's been preserved by being copied, by being translated, and passed down to faithful men to teach others also. The prophecy he received and tells is not to everyone. John's prophecy is not to everyone, but to those who read, it says there in verse 3. It says, those who read and hear and keep these prophecies. Revelation 1:3, blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. So it's... It's to those who read, hear, and keep the prophecies. You and I, in this dispensation of the grace of God, cannot keep those things which are written therein, because we're not in a prophetic period. No one yet has kept the law of Moses. No one yet has kept all the commandments all the time, except for Christ, who did keep the law. So it's not written to us or about us. God has suspended prophetic fulfillment for now. No one has that ability to keep these things. It is suspended until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. We will have an answer, a question and answer time afterwards, and I'll be glad to try and relate any questions to what the scripture says about them. But we see that prophetic fulfillment for Israel is suspended until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in, and that's, we see that in Romans 11 verses 30, well, verse 25 on through 32. To whom is the book of Revelation written? John was inspired to write the book of Revelation to those who will be in that future prophetic period, who are enabled to keep those things. They're made able to keep those things which are written therein. They'll be, you know, their blessing is from reading it, hearing it, and keeping those prophecies. God has already blessed the body of Christ. We're not waiting for that blessing in the future. We have it. We're blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. That's the body of Christ, those that believe. The blessing in the revelation is for restored Israel when they hear and read and hear and keep these things that were written by John in the revelation of Jesus Christ, the book of Revelation. John confirms that his revelation is not for everyone, but is being told to his brethren, to Israel. John, look in Revelation 1:9. Revelation chapter 1, verse 9. I, John, who also am your brother. Well, he's not my brother. He's not my nationality. I'm not Jewish. If I was, it's still, you know, Israel has still fallen. But he says, I, John. So he's talking to brother Israelites. I should make that point before we go on. But he says, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. John writes the book of Revelation starting with the resumption of Israel's prophesied events before the return of Christ to the earth, which is, you know, well, Revelation 1 verse 7, it does foreshadow and summarize that return, but at the beginning of Revelation. So as you read the Revelation, you can see that Christ had not yet come back to earth by the time of the first chapter, although it's summarized and prophesied there that he will be coming back. A lot of events happen in the book of Revelation in order for Christ to return to earth later in the book. But here it summarizes Christ's return, and we'll read it. Revelation 1, verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him. That's Israel, according to Zechariah 12:10. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. In the book of Revelation, John is not speaking of the mystery body of Christ, not that information about the body of Christ and the mystery of salvation today. He's not speaking of that which was kept secret until it was revealed unto the apostle, to the apostle of the Gentiles, the singular apostle of the Gentiles, Paul. And that was starting in Acts 9, after Christ's ministry on earth and ascension back to heaven. John is not talking about that. John's not talking about the collection of information that was kept secret. He's talking about prophecy, as he said in Revelation 1:3. Only to Paul did Christ reveal several hidden mysteries. If you try to mix together those new and different mystery revelations to Paul with the long-given prophetic information in Matthew, Mark, Luke, Revelation, Isaiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, and other prophecies, then confusion permeates that mixed-up doctrine. So don't mix them. Keep them separate as the Bible does and as the Bible says to do. So we should look at 2 Timothy 2:15. We'll read to 2 Timothy 2:15. But unless you keep God's teachings that are to various groups, various people groups, unless you keep them separate from each other, you end up with a mixture that is not from God. That mixture isn't. God does not treat his angels in the same way that he treats human beings. They do not have a redemption like we do. So we need to separate between what God says to angels and about angels from what he says to us and about us. That's rightly divided. That's separating the way God separated it. He made that division in Scripture, in his teachings, in doctrine. We need to do the same, not mix them together. God did not treat Israel the same way that he treats the body of Christ. It results in mass confusion when what is spoken to Israel is usurped and unrightfully seized to apply it to the body of Christ, and vice versa. So we need to, as the verse says, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. How so? Rightly dividing the word of truth. Okay, I'm done for today, except for answering questions that we can answer, or admitting we can't answer if we can't answer them. We just want to find what the Bible says. If the Bible doesn't say anything about it, well, then we better not make it up or make it try to say something that it doesn't say.